Now, he's there in the garden, just before he's to be betrayed, and he falls down on his face, and he is crying, and he has tears streaming down his face. And he's asking God the Father to let the cup pass from him. Now, what is the cup? That's his death on the cross. That's tasting the bitter dregs of death, tasting the bitter dregs of your sin in his own body. Jesus Christ going to the cross and dying there for you, and God pouring out all of your sins upon him. And he says, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not mine, but thine. And he came unto the disciples, and finding them asleep, and he said unto Peter, what, could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Jesus Christ was in the flesh. And he went again into the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me except I drink it, thy will be done. And he came and found them asleep again, and his eyes were heavy. Now I want you to look with me. Well, and he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same word. Then came he to his disciples and said unto them, sleep on now, and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed in the hands of sinners. Now I want you to turn to Luke, and we want to get something there in verse chapter 22 of Luke. And verse 39, it tells the same thing, but there's a little something different here, and I want you to get this. Luke 22, verse 39, and he came out and went as he was accustomed into the Mount of Olives, and his disciples also followed him. And when he was at the place, he said unto them, pray that ye enter not into temptation. And as he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, and kneeling down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me, nevertheless not my will, but thine be done. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. Now this is the same thing that the writer of the Hebrews says, but he calls it, he offered up prayers and supplication with strong crying and tears. So he prayed earnestly, and he sweat, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. And when he rose up from prayer, he came unto his disciples and found them asleep, and so on and so forth. And in Psalms 22, here's the picture that the psalmist gives. And I want you to, let's just turn back there to Psalms chapter 22 for just a moment. This is a prophetic psalm. This is speaking of this same occasion here. Some of the things that happened there on this occasion. And I want you to get the picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. So often we think about him there in the garden, going there, and he goes into the garden with his three disciples and says, now y'all stay in. They all sit around, you know, they're talking among themselves, and they bow their heads for prayer just a minute, and they sort of doze off to sleep, you know, and he's back there, you know, and he's praying, and he's a little bit more earnest about it, but, you know, he's not really getting with it. But that's not the picture that the Bible gives. The Bible gives the picture of him being in such dead earnest that he sweats, and he's so uptight about this thing that blood is mixed with the sweat as it comes out, as the veins there are broken and they come forth. And look at verse 6. He says, but I am a worm and no man. Now he's talking about here while he's in the garden and he is praying. In other words, he is down on the ground and he is squirming on the ground just like a worm. He is in such tremendous pain over this death, over this having taken our own sins in his own body. And yet what does he say? Nevertheless, not my will, but thine. He is in such agony over this that he is sweating and he is rolling on the ground and he is squirming like a worm and he's acting like a worm and not a man. And that's what the writer of Hebrews is talking about. He says he prays with strong cries and tears. Why? He's got you in mind. Notice what else he says in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 7. And in the days of his flesh, while he was here on the earth, when he became a man, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong cryings and tears unto him that was able to save him, he was talking to the Father. And the only one who could dismiss this was the Father. Because, you see, the Father is the one who does the planning. The Father is the one who made the plan of salvation. His plan called for the Son to come and die in your place to pay for all of your sin. The Father and the Son has had fellowship since eternity past. And now the Father has called upon the Son to take on His own body your sin. And when we take the communion service, we ought to remember what Jesus Christ did for us, how He suffered for you and for me. And He was praying unto Him that was able to save Him from death, and was heard in that He feared. Now, He heard. The Father heard the Son. Though He were a Son, yet learned He obedience. Now, if you'll notice what the writer says, he says He learned obedience. What did He not say? He did not say He learned to obey. If He had to learn to obey, then that meant that He did something wrong. But He learned obedience. He was always obedient. Even down to going to the cross and dying for you and the dying for me. So He learned obedience. And you know we need to continually learn. Look at John for just a moment. John the 6th chapter. And the 45th verse says it's written in the prophets. And they shall be taught of God. Written in the prophets, and this is a quotation from Isaiah 54:13. It is written in the prophets, and they shall be taught of God. Every man, therefore, that hath heard and hath learned of the Father, come to me. Now, we are taught of God. We need to continuously be taught of God. The Lord Jesus Christ learned obedience. He was placed under many circumstances where He learned obedience. And notice He learned obedience by the things which He suffered. Even there in the garden, right down to the nth degree, He says, Lord, if it's possible, let the cup pass, but nevertheless, it's Your will, and I will be obedient unto it, regardless. You know, we need to learn obedience. Some of us even need to learn to obey. Boy, how we've been wrong. How we've been stiff-necked, how we've been hard-headed. And we have sinned. He's made provision for that. We have a great high priest who has been touched with the feelings of our infirmities. He knows our problems. And He learns obedience by the things which He suffered. You know, when we get to thinking about the Lord Jesus Christ dying on the cross and the torment and the torture that He went through, it reminds us of those people who say that Jesus Christ was our example. Well, if that's the example that we're to follow in death, I don't know very many people following that example. Do you? When it comes time to die, you sweat great drops of blood. You get on the ground and squirm as a worm. But they have no concept of what it's all about. They have no concept of sin breaking fellowship with God. And how that a pure, righteous, sinless God does not want that fellowship broken between He and His Father. And that's the reason why He wasn't chicken. Why, you could see the next day when they took Him and they scourged Him. He opened not His mouth. The Bible says, as a sheep before the shears was dumb, He opened not His mouth. They nailed Him to the cross. And He didn't say anything. They put the thorn crown on His head. He didn't say anything. But when the Father forsook the Son, He screamed, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" So He learned obedience by the things He suffered. And being made perfect, He became the author of eternal salvation. I'm so glad He tells us what kind of salvation that He gives us. I'm so glad it's not salvation till we sin again. I'm so glad it's not salvation till we don't act right or we act wrong. But the Bible says that He is the author of eternal. How long is eternity? You know, it's just amazing how people can completely overlook this little word, eternal. And how they think that eternal means just till you sin again, or till you act wrong, or till you decide to stop believing, or you decide to do this or that or the other. Something. But notice it says that He is the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey Him. Now, how do you obey Him? By believing that He died for you and was buried and rose again. All the Bible says over and over again that obedience to Him is faith in Him. He says to obey means to believe that He died for you, was buried, and rose again. And He is called of God an high priest after the order of Melchizedek. This wonderful suffering Savior is our high priest. And He sure can be touched. Now, I wondered tonight,